Today I'm going to share with you some of the ideas, basic concepts about Ayurveda and Siddha medicine. I had used some of these ideas to explain to graduate and postgraduate students during my courses on the history of India at the University of Hyderabad. So I'll begin with the basic understanding of what is Ayurveda first, and then I'll move on to discussing basic concepts in Siddha medicine. So the meaning of the word Ayurveda it emerges out of a Tat Purusha name compound, Ayus meaning life principle, and Veda meaning knowledge. So therefore Ayurveda means knowledge of life, and unlike most understandings, when we discuss medicine we usually think of disease, but Ayurveda actually talks about the knowledge of life. There are several texts which discuss about life, and one of the Ayurvedic text called the Charaka Samhita defines life as follows, and I quote, "It is a combination of body, sense organs, mind and soul, the factor responsible for preventing decay, death, which sustains the body over time and guides the process of rebirth," unquote. So as one can see, the key concept in Ayurveda is healthy living, along with therapeutic measures that relate to physical, mental, social and spiritual harmony. Now, as far as the origins of Ayurveda is concerned, it is supposed to have a divine origin in Lord Brahma. And then the god of Ayurveda is Dhanvantri. And he is supposed to have, and he is drawn to for strength. All Ayurvedic practices draw to him for strength. Some scholars suggest that we should also emphasize on the Buddhist context of the origin of Ayurveda. Nagarjuna, the follower of Buddha, was a very well-known herbologist, famous for inventing new drugs. And it is suggested that the beginning of the use of mercury, sulfur and other metals goes back to his times. However, most of Ayurvedic medicine is based on oral tradition. It was transmitted through Gurukul systems, where students under the under their gurus learned the various steps and drugs and methods of Ayurveda. There were three very important points which students had to follow. They had to have a very strict regimen of life. There was also instruction given on moral order and patient's ethics. And thirdly, it was very important that the students did not divulge any knowledge about the patient and his family to anybody else. As far as training was concerned, it was a training for 7 years. And the most important method of diagnosis was direct observation, which is called pratyaksha. And then the inference based on observation was called anumana. Again, a very important thing which people don't emphasize on, but I think we should emphasize, that Ayurvedic remedies borrowed a lot or learnt a lot from the lay people, especially communities of hillmen, herdsmen, forest people and so on, different kinds of marginal people, because the herbal medicines were drawn from the forest and therefore they came into contact with these people. But people don't emphasize on the influence of the forest people in the formulation of Ayurvedic medicines. There are three main texts which are very well known in Ayurveda: the Charaka Samhita, the Sushruta Samhita, and of course the writings of the Ashtanga Samgraha, which is written by Vagabhat. These three are called the Vriddhatrayi or the Brihatrayi or the Great Triad of thinkers in Ayurveda. From the 8th century, Madhava wrote his Nidhana, which became a very important text describing the various diseases, their causes, symptoms and complications. In the 15th century, an important Ayurvedic text which is very famous is called Bhava Prakasha, and it is suggested by scholars that Bhava Mishra, the author of this text, came into contact with the Portuguese, and for the first time Firangi, or the disease of the foreigners called syphilis, is mentioned in this Ayurvedic text. There are three fundamental principles in Ayurveda to understand the body, namely how do the bodily humors or doshas exist in the body. Namely, these three doshas are vata, pitta and kapha. Vata is to do with the air principle and it is to do with the nervous system. Pitta is supposed to be the fire principle. It is usually to diagnose diseases related to digestion. And kapha is the water principle. It is to do with mucus and how the arterial system of the body is affected. So these are the basic principles and the basic features of Ayurvedic medicine. Siddha medicine, on the other hand, is similar to Ayurveda in some ways, but a very important point we should note is that it was it has its roots in the ancient Dravida culture. And much of its literature, almost all of its important literature, is in the Tamil language. So therefore, one can very safely say that Siddha was influenced by the local tradition, which had its roots in ancient Dravidian culture. Unlike Ayurveda, its origin is traced to the mythological sources belonging to the Shaivite tradition. According to this tradition, Lord Shiva conveyed the knowledge of medicine to his wife Parvati. The knowledge was passed from her to Nandi and finally it was given to the Siddhas. The word Siddha literally means one who has achieved extraordinary powers, Siddhi. This achievement was related to the discipline of the mind and its superiority of the body and was accomplished through both yoga and medicine. Thus, Siddhars, that is, those who are practitioners of Siddha, became the symbols of psychosomatic perfection, and so the Siddha medicine became a combination of medicine plus yoga. This is also very important to understand because I would like to present before you a very important idea, namely that a lot of tantric literature was read by the Siddhas, and in fact scholars suggest that the tantric Siddhi was the one who really developed the entire system over a period of time. So according to this view, there are different forms of tantric Siddhi. What are these forms? One, you could be a tantric Siddhi by Janmaja, that is by birth, by Oshadhi, that is due to medical auxiliaries, by Mantraja, due to magical incantations, by Tapoja, that is by penance, or by Samadhija, that is due to meditation. In other words, tantrics had all these different ways in which they would purify the body. So it depended on what kind of a Siddhi were you. Were you a Siddhi through meditation? Were you a Siddhi due to your medical medicines that you took? Or were you a Siddhi by birth? And so on and so forth. And this brings us to the second most important point of the tantric Siddhi or the Siddha medicine, namely that for the first time, tantrics and Siddhis used metallic substances or compounds like mercury, sulfur, mica and others to perfect the body or to strengthen the body, to make the body live for a long time. And these two things then become very critical in the way in which Siddha medicine developed in particularly South India. According to the tradition, there are 18 important Siddhars, that is those who had extraordinary powers. Some of the early ones like Nandi, Agastya are very well known and they have left behind literature in Tamil, as I mentioned before. Some scholars suggest that we should go back to the use of metals in medicine to the period of Vagabhat, which is as early as the 6th century AD. But I think there is a sort of agreement among scholars that alchemy actually has its origins in the Siddha system of medieval times. So it really, it sort of reaches a high watermark in the medieval period, though it may have its origins in the earlier period, as some scholars suggest. The use of the human urine in medicine also started in the tantric culture and it became popular in the medieval period. The dates of most of the alchemy texts are generally uncertain, but they belong possibly to a period between the 9th and the 18th centuries. The period between the 10th and the 14th centuries being perhaps the most flourishing one. Generally, these texts come under the category of what is called Rasa Shastra. signifying systematic treatment of the new knowledge and practices relating to the use of mercurial compounds and a host of other substances in medicine. The following are some of the important Rasashastra texts in Sanskrit, one by Govinda Bhagat called Rasahridya, Rasa Ratnakar by Siddha Nagarjuna, Rasa Narva by an unknown author, one doesn't know who the author is, and Rasna Ratnakar by Nitya Siddha. There are also some tantric texts which deal with alchemical ideas as part of the psycho-experimental symbolic treatment of the tantric goals and related practice. These texts are not only in Sanskrit, but in also in other South Indian languages like Tamil, Telugu, Kannada, etc. In fact, scholars have made a list of these works, and it is noted that there are about 200 works in Tamil alone on Siddha medicine having alchemical ideas. Of course, we can move on to looking at some of the basic concepts in Siddha medicine. Generally, the basic concepts of Siddha medicines are, as I said, similar to Ayurveda. There is one important difference. The only difference appears to be that the Siddha medicine recognizes the predominance of Vata or Vattam, Pittam and Kapham. These are Tamil ways of pronouncing Vata, Pitta and Kapha, in which childhood, adulthood and old age respectively are signified. But in Ayurveda, this is totally reversed. Kapham is dominant in childhood, Vattam in old age and Pittam in adults. So the way in which they look at these bodily humors in the different periods of one life is viewed differently by these two traditions of medicine. And then, of course, there is also the whole way in which they bifurcate the bodily humors into different elements. So in Siddha medicine, there are various psychological and physiological functions of the body which are attributed to the combination of seven elements. For example, the first is called Saram Plasma. This is responsible for growth, development, nourishment. The second is chinir, that is blood. This is responsible for nourishing the muscles, imparting color, improving intellect. The third is called uan, muscle, responsible for the shape of the body, and so on and so forth. So there are these seven major elements which are very important to understand. So students are instructed in these three major causes for bodily humors to deteriorate or strengthen according to these seven elements. Then according to Siddha medicine, and also this is also common in Ayurveda, that is diet and lifestyle play a major role not only in the health but also in curing the diseases. This concept of Siddha medicine is called Pathya or Apathya, which is essentially a list of do's and don'ts. What you should do to have proper diagnosis, proper treatment, and proper life. And so I think most patients who would like to follow the Siddha medicine have to strictly follow these paths. In terms of the drugs, I think one of the most important contributions of the Siddhas is in the drugs that they produce. Because as I told you before, the knowledge of herbal drugs was well known. Also drugs that were made out of animal remains. But what the Siddhas perfected, along with the tantrics of course, is that they classified all these drugs into different types. So they said, okay, the knowledge of herbal drugs is there, it is well known. And these are all inorganic substances. Then there are these animal products. These medicines are based on animal products. Some medicines are based on animal products. And then, of course, what they did in a very systematic way was drugs which they called metallic drugs or Thatu drugs, which were classified as Uppu, water-soluble inorganic substances, or drugs which were based on different metals, different powders, the use of loham, for example, that is iron, the and rasam, that is Loham were hard drugs and rasam were soft drugs. And then they went on to classify the drugs according to whether they were soluble or not soluble, and the combination of these drugs into various powders. And there is a long list of the various powders, decoction powders, which are given in all the texts and how they should be administered. For example, chenaduram is a red color powder generally made out of metallic compounds. But chunam, it's a well-known word even in all Indian languages. It is an alkaline substance, an alkaline in nature. Then kalangu is based on mercury, and so on and so forth. So most of their drugs were, I mean, what the Siddhas did very systematically was that they were able to classify the drugs according to the content and according to whether they were hard or soft, and that their administering was done very carefully at the hands of a practitioner, a person who was very well versed in this system of medicine. The way in which the treatment was done, maybe I can just very briefly mention that. I have already explained it earlier on, but I would re-emphasize that by saying that the treatment in Siddha medicine is aimed at keeping the three humors in equilibrium, the three humors of Vata, Kapha, and Pitta. These three humors have to be kept in equilibrium, and alongside the maintenance of seven elements. So proper diet, medicine, and disciplined regimen of life are advised for a healthy living to restore the equilibrium of humors in the diseased condition. There are the patient, the attendant, the physician, and the medicine. So these, the patient, the attendant, the physician, and the medicine are supposed to ensure that none of the conditions become unbalanced. So there are these four people that will see that the balance in the treatment is maintained. In other words, or maybe perhaps if we want to summarize, the concept of a physician in the Siddha system of medicine is that he should be a spiritual being. Because as I said in the beginning, what is the meaning of the word Siddhi or Siddhar is a person who is able to attain or achieve a certain level of spiritual and in-depth knowledge. And through this in-depth knowledge, he is supposed to be able to correct the physical, mental, as well as the dietary habits of the individual. So it's not just simply a physical treatment that is given, but it is also related to the internal understanding of the body. And if I may say so, and this is my own understanding, if I may say so, I think that both in Tantra and in Siddha, the concept of spiritual liberation is also linked with a healthy body. Because as in other systems of Indian thought, where moksha or spiritual liberation or jivan mukti is, you don't know when you achieve jivan mukti. In these systems of thought, jivan mukti is very important to understand. So therefore, the body has to be very healthy. And because Shiva and Parvati are the givers of this knowledge, to get a cosmic union with Shiva and Parvati, we must have a very healthy, pure body, both mentally and physically. So these are the few basic ideas about Ayurvedic and Siddha systems of medicine.